Okay, so here on campus, we have about, I'm going to say three groups. Would you agree? Three groups-ish? Three groups? On Zoom, how many groups do you think, Wes? How many people are there?
We can have up to three to four.
How many? Maybe about four groups on Zoom. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. So maybe three groups on Zoom if there's five. About five people per. Five, six, you know, not too much. Because what I don't want you to do is hide in your group. You know how that is? If you get a group big enough, you don't have to be, like, really a part of it. Yeah. That's one of the tricks. I know that trick, that little strategy. I know I'm loud and obnoxious, but I also know how to hide really well as well. Sometimes I can hide in my loud and obnoxiousness. Isn't that cool? That's a good trick. So here's what we're going to talk about. How many of you guys remember a couple weeks ago, if you weren't here, what we did is we broke up into groups and we planned a party, right? Like you went to we basically had you a 4th of July party at the Olympics. And one group was the tailgaters and the other group was the Olympians, right? And that wasn't as clear as we wanted it to. So what was very awesome is Sue just had her group just stretch because they were the Olympians and they didn't know what better to do. So they didn't drink the beer or the watermelon or they didn't participate in any of Elder Tim's cocaine. So we didn't really have cocaine. We just, like, were pretending. So anyway, this week we're going to do something a little bit different. I want you to plan. We're still going to have the plan, but it's more, you know what, even better, we're going to imagine. Okay, I know we were imagining before. We were imagining that we're planning. But now I just want you to imagine, and I want you to break up, and I want you to talk about what an ideal worship experience is for you. Now, what's really cool is some of you guys, or at least I can use some of today as really awesome. By the way, thank you, Miranda and team. Super good. It was really solid. You could. And so if you're going to go that way, and that's why it's so helpful, is just talk, and I want you just to kind of articulate what elements were in that helped make that such a full experience for you. And if there was things missing, that's okay. If you feel awkward about it, that's okay. Don't make it about, there's nothing bad that's happened, okay, in that sense. If you want to, I just want you to talk about what in your imagination is a worship experience for us together, okay? Or for you together. It doesn't have to be us. You can even bring in other elements. That's kind of the point of this exercise. Is that clue? Are we confused at all? Did I do better on explaining this week? Any Zoom? I'm looking for a thumbs up. Are we good? You guys all understand? Okay. Cool. Let's break up in groups about five or six, maybe about four groups here. And we're just going to be a couple of minutes, no more than five.
Okay, here we go. Going into the groups, and I'll call you back as soon as Brad gives me the thumbs up.
All right. Tim, how are we doing over there? You okay? Come, you wrapping up? Okay, we're going to wrap up based on that. Yeah, why don't we start bringing people back, Wesley? Okay, so come on back in. Gather around the campfire. There's a couple of reasons for this. The first reason is I really want us to be connected. And you can probably pick that up in different ways. We're growing in that. We're trying to figure out how to do that as a church service, unity in that sense, but also as a church, more generally speaking. And we are growing. We're going through some growing pains in that. Some are better than others, and we're all feeling certain different ways of being isolated. But I do know that one thing that as we gather together around worship, the worship of God, that has a way of drawing us together in a way that you don't want to trade that for nothing. Okay? You don't want to trade that. I'm curious a little bit, and maybe Kevin can be at the switch here. I don't know how simple or whatever, but if somebody, a couple of people want to share just a couple of things. I know that there was a lot of good conversation, but maybe just a couple things, maybe something that stood out to you that somebody else said would be really a good way to do that. Then you're not just kind of repeating yourself, but maybe something that somebody else said that really stood out to you. Is there anybody in-house or? Okay, rapture. What does that mean? Tell me a little bit about that. You just, but the experience, or I don't know. So that was just a complete joke, or no. I want to. I think that there's something to what you're saying from a certain perspective, but I just don't know if you're. I'm trying to tell if you're hiding now. Okay, go ahead. So, all right, stop talking to me. That's what he's saying. I don't pick up on clues sometimes. Well, most times, but anyway, yes, yeah. Unmute yourself and speak. In from Zoom.
Can you guys hear us?
We've got you on the switch up here.
So we were with Christopher.
Yeah.
And he
what
said
are some just some cool things that came out of your conversations? Yeah. Andrea. Mm-hmm. Okay. Super cool. So creating a sacred space, right? Like Miranda did, is that there's an intentionality. Okay. I'm repeating it for Zoom. That's why I'm just sorry. That's why I do that. It's not that I didn't understand necessarily, but maybe I did. Kevin, go ahead. All performance with no substance. What's that mean? Joke. So I'm gathering that worship is a joke to you guys. It's very humorous. Or I think it's very personal, and we struggle with just being honest and open about it. Being intimate is very difficult, is amen? So I don't want to be pejorative in the joking part. I just want us to realize it is a very sensitive and personal issue that we're talking about, right? So, but anyway, I'm making a joke about your joking. Being an active participant, right? So intentionality by creating a sacred space, being an active participant, okay? Yeah, somebody else. Tim. So Tim is saying authenticity. Yep, I'm just telling Zoom. Yeah. I feel like I'm at a sports game commentating for Tim, and I can't. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Tim is just basically, he's musing with the question of why is it hard to be authentic? Why is it not just a natural thing for us as humans just to be as is, right? Like, because authenticity is something we very much value. If something is authentic, we really note it and comment on it. And yet it's just part of that is, again, Tim's musing is that it's just hard to interact with because it's not natural. Is that kind of, yeah. Francis. Yeah, worrying about whatever other people think. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. We get very self-conscious, very self-aware sometimes. I remember in worshiping, even today, just that moment of just thinking, I want to lose myself in this. And I was very aware. And that was one of the things. And I just had given the whole thing on the mask, but then I was very aware that I couldn't negotiate the mask. Like in that moment, and I'm like, okay, I should sing through it, right? Like I go through that little wrestling and then I'm like, no, I just said if something's in the way, this is clearly in the way because it keeps pulling me out of being aware of just, or losing my awareness, my self-awareness. Yeah. So I totally identify with that, Francis. Thank you. Yeah. A couple people on Zoom and then, yep.
Steven, I think you were talking. Sorry. And you got cut off.
Sorry, Steven.
Oh, that's fine. We were with Chris and Todd and Kim and Tim, and they're driving over there. So But Chris said something. He said it was he likes worship to be applicable. He likes it to mean something. It's a very personal experience with the Lord
and the Holy Spirit talking and just feeling the Holy Spirit really throughout a worship service.
And Abby wanted good drumming.
Oh, yeah, Abby insisted on good drumming.
And Daddy wanted something.
Variety.
Yeah. Variety of different kinds of music types.
That's it. Marquita, were you unmuted for a bit? Did you want to say something? Or anyone else?
Right, anyone else? Oh, Marquita's going to say something.
Hey, in our group, it was Janet, Di, and Karen, and myself, and we talked about those experiences in which God's presence is so tangible that you just seem to receive without even having to ask. And we talked about worship music that is focused on who he is and not how he makes us feel, but a worship experience that is all about him and not us.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. So we'll, is anybody jumping off the page there?
Is it me? I'm the spokesperson for our group, and it was Sue, Stephanie, Allie, the Steiners, and me, and
did I forget anybody?
I think that's it. Jeremy. And we talked about, Sue said, like, today was a really good example, the way that Miranda was able to testify while leading worship, and that was really powerful. We want peace. We want to be able to, like, not be distracted by kids. Getting lost in the Holy Spirit. And then Allie said location doesn't seem to matter. Like, she, like, listed, like, a few, like, I've been in a huge venue, and I've been, like, in a room, and, like the Holy Spirit is just, like, there. Like, I think we all just agreed, like, the Holy Spirit just, like, getting unleashed in those moments and lost and not feeling like there's a time limit too, you know, but like it could just like go on and on. That was it.
Well, thank you guys. Thanks for doing this. I'm going to kind of feel like go off and talk like I'm going to go off topic a little bit, but I'm going to bring it back. Okay. So we're going to kind of go off topic a little bit, and I want to ask anybody maybe in sports. I was thinking about Kevin, certainly Riley. I don't know if Riley's there, but how many of you guys know, Miranda, you would know this, what is follow through in anything, in a sport specifically, I'm thinking? Like if you're in a boxing match or jiu-jitsu, what's follow through? What does it do for you, or what is it? Is there something we can articulate a little bit? Yeah. Okay. So just for Zoom, commitment, you made a commitment to do something and you go all the way through, right? No matter what, you go all the way through. Is that what you're basically saying? Whether it's fun or difficult, you do it. You go all the way through. Did you have anything, anybody else want to add to that? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, so Miranda's talking about pitching, and she says you can't stop at the peak of it, that, like, you can't just stop here, but you have to throw through, right? There's an interesting guy that I watch as far as batting goes, and he talks about that very thing, right, like in hitting. He says that it really the swing doesn't matter afterwards. It just simply tells the story of what occurred before. So in other words, there's this idea that you somehow can stop at that peak, but you can't, right? Like it's the follow through is all in the commitment to it. Like Kevin said, it's you can't kind of just kind of pull a punch. What does that mean to pull a punch, right? Like that means I'm not going to hit you all the way. If I only hit you here, it's not going to be as hard, right? Like if I'm boxing and I'm only doing this, I'm not doing as much as if I do this. And then notice how I put my body into it, right? Like that pushes into something. And we all know this. We've watched how many of you guys, Karate Kid, older folks, right? Y'all, right? But you know, like wow, you know, like he does, you know, focus, focus, right? All this kind of stuff. And so I was watching, you know, my son plays baseball and this is how I get into this, all this stuff. I'm watching, he has this fantastic hit yesterday, right? And as we watch, his arms kind of went through like this. And it's, you know, Brad, and yeah, this is where I get into trouble. And I'm like, man, if he would have just gone all the way through that ball. Ball was great. It was a great ball, but it was just one of those where you just like, if it would have just gone all the way through. So there's a wrestling there. Did my son have fun? What is the goal of having, you know, what's the experience he's supposed to have? He's supposed to have a great time. And so I wrestle with, how do I interact with that? Because something I really know about him is he wants to hit a home run. He wants the ball to go over the fence. And I don't know that it would have gone over the fence, but I know here he didn't go through the ball. Does that make sense? So how does this connect with what we're talking about today? If you've been following, we've been going through 2 Corinthians, and we've been going through Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and it could be multiple letters, it could be one, but there's all of this stuff going on. But what we really get out of this is a person's heart for people who are struggling, who are lost. And I've asked you guys multiple times to not hear it as though Paul is speaking to you, FWC. What I want us to do is switch the frame a little bit and go like, what is the heart of Paul that we should have as we speak to others? You hear the difference, right? There's a conviction in there. And if you're like me, you feel the gap. You're like, I'm not Paul. I'd rather be talked to by Paul than talk as though I am Paul. But I got to tell you, and I've mentioned this before, that as I've been reading this and soaking into it and really trying to get my head around it, I have become freer because Paul is confusing. In his speeching, how's that, right? Like, if this is all one letter, this thing is a mess, right? Somebody edited it and thought that it kind of, this piece should go here, and some piece, you know, we don't understand fully the thought, if it's multiple letters, why they organized it the way they did. And if it's Paul, we definitely don't understand. Like, did he start writing that, then he goes for a walk, and then he thinks about something, and comes back... Okay, no, I mean to say it this way. And then he goes back and he gets all wound up again and he goes, no, what I meant to say was, right? Like, it's this sort of feel in the thing. And my joke to you guys often is, I do have something to say. Some assembly may be required, right? This is what we're doing with Paul here. We're figuring out what assembly, how it should kind of go through here. And what's the through lines and how different things go. What's cool about being a pastor and a preacher, and even what... Marquita did, as she pastored us today through worship, by the way, whatever that word means, how she ministered to us, how she brought us into that presence and went before us, and not just her, of course, Kathy and the whole team. What I mean by that is that you listen to themes that are going on, that you, God, what would you have for the people this week? What would you have? What's going on in the community? And sometimes you get like real direct feedback. Sometimes it's like, I don't really know. God, just help me. Aim me in the right direction. And then you got to go with it. And you have to follow through. And again, what was awesome about what Miranda did today is just, you could just feel that. There's just something about hitting a baseball. I'm sorry. I know I'm a nut when I start going to this, but these guys talk about words in a similar way. They love words and how things go. But there's just the satisfying feeling of a ball coming off the bat. And when it just all hits, and when you watch it, it's fun to watch. Any of you guys watching the World Series? All right. Both of you. Okay, good. 3, 4, 5 of us. Okay. It was so hard because I needed to prepare last night and I was like, nope, I'm not going to watch it. And I kept turning it off. God, please help me. And that was half my prayer last night, is just like, I need to not be distracted. I need to not be distracted, but I was distracted and I'd get a text here. I'd find something out and I'd be like, but I want to watch it. And I feel the pull, right? Well, if you remember last week, chapter 6, verse 11 said this: "We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak to children. Open wide your hearts also. Now, I don't know about you. I'm trying to hear as Paul talking, but I got to flip that around a little bit and go like, what's going on in that, right? Well, last night, just that pull of my affections. I want to watch my son play baseball. I want to watch baseball on TV. None of these are necessarily bad things, you understand. But they're not the primary thing. We're here to do something, and there's pull on our affections. Do you get that? And I don't think there's any more clear pulls going on than what we're wrestling with right now in our society. Whether it be a mask. Well, is it the mask? What's going on with the mask? Well, I don't know about the mask in particular, but it's pulling at our hearts, isn't it? Right? We've got all kinds of things. Then you get the political conversation. Then you get this going on. And then you go that. There's like all of these tears that pull that make it hard for us to just go, God, what is important? What is it that I open my heart wide to? How do I get into that sweet spot? How do I get to that experience? Right? Do we put it all on Miranda and the worship team to kind of do it for us? What happens if nobody participates? I heard Rick talk about this earlier. He was made a comment about like, it's really, I'm paraphrasing. I only was eavesdropping, but it's really hard when you do something and nobody wants to participate. When you get up and get the worship set and nobody, they all kind of sit there like bumps on a log, right? So there's something about a community worship that requires something from all of us. Amen. And it's difficult when we've got all our cares and pulls and twists and thoughts and judgments and, you know, critiques and all of these things going on the way things should be. How many of you guys have heard somebody maybe today or yesterday say, I can't wait till it gets back to normal? All right. Maybe not yesterday, but Friday or the, you know what I mean? This week, I bet you that everybody has heard those words at some point. And again, I mentioned this before. What if this is normal? Right? There's this great title of a book, Ennio Salucci. He's passed away recently. He wrote the book. It's called Reality, comma, for a Change. Reality. If you want to change, if you want to switch your orientation to who you are, don't wait for things to be something else, but live in the now, the reality of right here. If you want change, this is your best opportunity. What is this experience providing for you to engage with and interact with? So if I turn that question around, what prevents you from coming and bringing your whole self to worship each and every week? Well, am I saying, oh, you got to do that at church all the time? No, I'm not saying it's just about Sunday. It's about each and every day of the week. I get that. But this is where we gather and we commune and we pull together and say, this is the one time we get to do this together as this group. Now, yes, you can show up on Tuesday. There's other opportunities where that can happen. Do you show up at those times ready and able and engaged to worship, right? Or do you allow those affections to pull? So to continue on with Chapter 6, he says, do not be mismatched with unbelievers, but for what partisanship is between righteousness and lawlessness. We talked all about this and just the polls. If you're trying to be Olympic athletes and plan a party with frat people, it just doesn't work, right? Like you collapse to each other, right? But he goes on, if you skip down, well, I'll just read it. It's really good. Or what fellowship is there between light and darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Satan? Or what does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I like how you the endorsement, right? I need to get my, you know, like, as God has said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out of them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean, then I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He doubles down on his endorsement, huh? since chapter 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and of spirit, making holiness perfect in the fear of God. The translation that Eugene Peterson uses for that last bit there is making you fit for worship. God is making us fit for worship, bringing us into this, stepping into this. One of the reasons, again, going back to my trying to move us around and talking and being as though Paul is talking, like we are Paul, I want us to feel that disconnect. But how many of you guys feel that disconnect and then pull back? Like, I can't really step into the situation. I can't go into that. Sometimes you got to edit on the fly. Something pops in your head, you got to let it go. But I don't always do that well, but today I'm going to. I can't tell you how many times that I've had to speak truth into somebody's life, knowing full well that the gap in my life is at least this big. Okay, well, maybe this big. Right? And the choice is, am I going to love them in this moment and honor them, or am I going to be about myself and pull a punch? Sometimes I can do it and I can get away with it and I can pull that punch and the ball will go into the outfield and I'll feel good about myself. But if I'm really honest about myself, my goal was to hit a home run. And if I'm really honest, I'll look and I'll see that I didn't follow through. That's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for us to kind of hear the Lord. Adam always used to talk about how you get these sermons three times. Once when you're preparing, then you deliver it. And then all the conversation and just between you and the Lord afterwards, right? And all of that is like, well, okay, if you would have just followed through here, I'm just curious what would have happened. It would have been cool to see that ball go a little bit further. But guess what? We're going to talk a little bit about this too, is there's grace. There's grace in that. God is never, ever, ever doing it to make you feel like a piece of dirt. We feel that. We bring that in by ourselves, don't we? He's not doing it. It says in Hebrews that he is our father, and the correction is what he's up to. That's what he's trying to do, is getting us so that we can hit the home run that we say that we want to hit. That is, he is getting us so that we can come and gather and worship in a free and amazing way, because that's what we declare that we want to do, because we know that any time that we have done it, he has met us and met us in incredible ways like he did this morning. And so when we pull our punches, we don't get to experience that, right? Is it always about the ball going over the fence? No, it's not always. I think it was Marquita, talked about it's not getting addicted to the experience. This is what Eugene Peterson also talks about this. It's about the encounter with Jesus Christ. And sometimes that's warm and fuzzy and wonderful, and it feels, this is where I was going with your thing, it feels like the rapture, amen? And it just is like another world. There's like the very blurry line between this reality and that reality, right? But other times it's kind of not that way, but we make it like, again, using Miranda's words, we make it like a prayer. We say, God, I don't know. I can't feel it. I'm struggling. Please. Most of those times tears are pouring down my face. If you're like me, right? Like, I know where I want to be with you, God, but I can't get there. And it's just painful and it hurts. Mostly because I feel the gap. So, if you have a Bible, flip over to 1 John. It's a famous one. This is the solution, by the way, if you're looking for solutions today. How do you worship? How do you get full blast and still feel the gap? How do you step into people's lives? How do you walk with people even though you are not doing the right thing yourself the best you can, right? Like, you know that gap. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that, you know, Romans talks about this. Do I sin more so that grace would abound? Certainly not, right? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we just walk into things with sin. That's just the way it is. We have the gap. We feel that gap. And when we feel that gap, do we pull back? When you come to worship, when you come to the experience, do you go like, God, I really want to, but I know I've been a piece of crap this week, right? Do we do it that way and pull our punches there, or do we go like this, right? First John 1. Starting at verse 5. This message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So first of all, right there, what does that say about you entering in the presence of God? You're already clean. You're already in the light. There's no, that gap you feel is very much perceived at that point. It's not real. He has conquered death. You cannot be darkness in a room of light, especially his light. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie, and we are not doing what is true. So if you say that you're actually in the light when you're hiding and you're underneath it, then you're deceiving yourself. Or if you say that maybe you're like walking in darkness, or you're no good, or you suck, but yet he's standing right in front of you, there's something not right with that. It just, there's a gap there, right? And the gap is for us to repent. And that's where this comes in a little bit. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. One of the things that Miranda said this morning that was so powerful is she doesn't struggle with the belief in God, but she struggles with his goodness. And if you're like me, I certainly do too. Anybody want to, like, yeah, we're all in that boat together. Is God really good? What's going on here? All this kind of stuff. And then I feel bad about that. And then I feel shameful. And then I get small and I don't really worship because I feel like I don't even trust you. Right? And now I realize that I should trust you, but now I feel bad that I don't trust you. And we get in this little cycle and we don't even come in. And God's like, I'm right here. All I want to do is commune with you. All I want to do is sit with you. All I want to do is be with you. Back over to 2 Corinthians. For us, repenting, bringing it to the Lord, and just say, you know what? It's your light. It's your glory. It's your hope. Just get me there. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to trust you. And then you go through and you follow through with that. Don't pull your punch and don't just stay partially at the door, but give in all the way. And that's, I pray and I hope that you do this next week and the week after and whatever you do this week, do all things for the glory of God. Do it without pulling punches. But sometimes you got to speak into people's lives. Sometimes we are together in people's lives. And sometimes we have to say difficult things to people. And it's hard. And sometimes you have to hear difficult things from people. And you have to somehow interact with that. And in this community here, we want that. We want frank speech. We want boldness. We want that life. But we want it for the purpose of what? To building each other up in the faith. That is our goal. That is what we fight for. Right? So we might go back and forth and all that stuff, but it is to bring the glory of God. And it is to also follow through with the punch so that we can gather here and be fit for worship together. So verse 2 from chapter 7 says, make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. Again, I hear that and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be Paul right now, right? How many of you guys feel the gap if you're going to say, I've wronged no one, I've corrupted no one, da-da-da-da-da? I got to promise you that Paul also felt that gap. Paul is a human being. We forget that he was human. God used him in a powerful way, and he uses you and me and this church in a powerful way. In spite of our gap, the solution to our gap is we just confess it to the Lord. We make amends however we can make amends, however that looks, however we can connect in that way. But do not pull back. Do not pull your punch, but yet follow through and trust God's grace in spite of what you feel when you have to speak. Verse 3, I do not say this to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts. to die together and to live together. That's really a slogan, right? We're all in it together. We've heard that slogan a million times. That's a slogan, but it's true, right? Like, this is the church. We are in this together. And if you think about the church back then, they're under persecution, right? We're under some persecution, and it's annoying and it's frustrating and all the laws and all this other kind of stuff, but they were getting killed for their faith. He says, I often boast about you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with consolation. I'm overjoyed in all our affections. I just, again, hear the wrestling. Not so much here because I don't hear his wrestling, but I feel the gap. So I got to believe there was wrestling to be able to say this with confidence. And I'm trusting on that grace that God has given him to be able to speak confidently into this situation. Verse 5, he says, even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted in every way, disputes without and fears within. But God, who consoles the downcast, consoled us by the arrival of Titus, and not only by his coming, but by the consolation with which he always consoled by you, about you. As he told us of your longing and your mourning and your zeal for me, so I rejoiced still more. Remember, Paul has told these guys to excommunicate somebody, right? Or to discipline somebody. We're not sure exactly. There's a couple different ones. In 1 Corinthians, we know there was an excommunication. 2 Corinthians, we're not sure exactly if it's the same one or something else. But Paul has brought down a heavy hammer. And there's a lot of pushback on that. And he's like, gosh, you cannot, you know, you can't tell me what to do. Who is this guy? And they're just like all this stuff. And he can't talk. And, you know, I'm not interested and blah, 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 blah. He's not any good at any of this stuff. And so Paul has to bring this in. And he brings down the hammer, and his heart is broken. How many of you guys would say, I don't know, I feel like I'm putting you guys on the spot on here. I operate in a very different way when I feel under pressure, when I feel under the gun, when I feel in conflict. There's just something, and I can pull back again, or I can come in before the Lord and let him do something in there. And there's times when I walk into that experience where I just feel like I'm naked, standing in front of everybody, with the spotlight, not you guys, don't picture that here, sorry. But I don't edit everything, we know this. I'm asking you to edit. But do you know that feeling when you just want to hide? You know that, I love those Southwest Airlines, do you want to get away commercials? You know what I'm talking about, how just something goes wrong and it's like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, the point being is we all know what that feels like when you just absolutely want to hide and not deal with something. And those places where, you know, just like you're just ripped inside. But when I've sat still with the Lord and let him work in me and let him talk to me, I've had glimmers of hope. Sometimes it's faith, but over and over and over again, he meets me and meets me and meets me. I think about Paul here. He's done something that he wishes he didn't do. But he's also glad that he did it. Because if he doesn't do it, then it's not following through. He wants them, later he's going to talk about, to present them before the Lord. He wants them whole. He wants them fit for worship. That's what he's up to. And when he speaks into their lives and when he gets into the difficult conversation, he has to not pull that punch. He has to go all the way through. And he's wrestling with that and he's struggling with that gap. Verse 7, and not only his coming, but also the consolation with which he consoled me about you. He told me of your longing and your mourning and your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. They get it. That excites him. Verse 8, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I do regret it, for I see that I have grieved you with that letter, though only briefly, hearing the wrestling in that. Now I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you felt a godly grief, so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret. But worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you. What eagerness to clear yourself. What indignation, what alarm. What longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point, you have proved yourself guiltless in the matter. There was a violation. There was something going on here that through the grieving process, through the repentance, through the listening and the willingness to go through all the way through, that they come out on the other side. How many of you guys can recognize, maybe you didn't have those on your list for when you talked about the experience of worship, but listen to this list again. For we see what eagerness that this godly grief has produced, what eagerness to clear yourself, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what zeal, even what punishment, right? Like there's this, there's all of these emotions that we bring in before the Lord. So although I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did the wrong, nor on the account of the one who was wronged, but in order that your zeal for us might be made known before God. In this we find comfort. In addition to our own consolation, we rejoiced still more at the joy of Titus, because his mind had been set at rest by all of you. For if you have been somewhat boastful about For I have been somewhat boastful about you to him. I was not disgraced, but just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting to Titus proved true as well. And his heart goes out all the more to you, as he remembers the obedience of all of you and how you welcomed him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. There was a unity that was produced in this. There is a confidence. There is a togetherness in this. There was this fraction and a pulling and an, oh my goodness. And I, again, reiterate how much we feel those pulls in our society and how much our struggles and our difficulties and all this stuff. But if we go all the way through, get into the presence of God, come together, whether it be in worship here or through communion of one another, making him the central point, the focal point of what we're doing, there's going to be a unity that's involved in there. The result, the experience of that is going to be amazing. The experience is going to be somewhat what you experienced in your conversations. It's going to be somewhat what you experienced today, but I promise you that if we do this more, we're going to experience it more. If we're going to do this more honestly, more frankly, more vulnerably, we're going to experience him more and more and more in that sense. I loved how we prayed over Wes Friday. We were blessing him, and the theme was moreness. Like, he's a great guy, but we were blessing him with moreness of that great guyness and just all kinds of stuff. That was just the theme. And I'm here to tell you that God wants to bless you with moreness. You guys have the heart. You guys have the ability to speak and stand and be a guy like Paul and speak truth into people's lives. And it's hard, and sometimes you pull back and you want to flinch, and I'm done being in this conversation or that frustration or telling this person the thing that I don't want to tell them. Lean toward the resistance. Push into it. You want to stand here and, like I was sharing, and just like, God, I want to pull back, but I want to be not thinking of myself. I want to have that moment where I can just let go. Did I fully get there, like the rapture? No, didn't fully get there. Not going to say that I did, but I know that by pushing in, it's the practice. It's the practice. And I don't know if it's going to be a home run, but I know that the practice gets you more and more joyful and more toward what it is. And we'll see whatever he does. The home run is meeting with him. The home run is what he does in us. It's that commitment all the way through. Thing I think about, and I've shared this before, but it's such an amazing moment in my life. I know I'm over time again. But I'll end with this. I got married in 2003, and I remember getting on the stage, and I hadn't come out yet. I was just off to the side. And one of the things that is really cool is a lot of times when we do weddings here, or when we've had, you know, a lot of you guys have had instructions to go and spend at least 15 minutes alone. Just you and the Lord, just to try and get your head clear. And I got to spend that maybe a little bit longer, just to be alone with the Lord and let him just speak. And there was this moment where I remember standing just off to the stage, and there was just such joy. And I remember him talking to me that this might be the most joy I feel, like elated, ecstatic joy that I will feel before the wedding that he and I get to have, the wedding that you and I get to have with him. There's that moment that is just so incredible. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down. Did I skip it? I did skip it. Sorry. I messed it up. This is it. It's actually 19. Sorry. The other part's cool too. You should read it. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven singing, "Hallelujah! Salvation and the glory and the power to our God. For his judgment are true and just, and he has judged the great whore who has corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they said, "Hallelujah," and the smoke goes up from her forever and ever. And 24 elders and 24 living creatures fell down and worshipped. And God is seated on the throne saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you servants, all you who fear him, small and great." And then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt him and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. To you it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "Those words are true of God." And I fell down at his feet and I worshiped him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you, your comrade, who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." This passage, I feel the gap of wanting to live out what God has called us to do. I want us to hear as though we can be the voice of Paul to the society. But you're also going to feel that gap. There's a closure for that in the just simply, "God, will you forgive me, or will you empower me to that?" And then there's that stepping into it and following through and knowing that we're inviting not just our own selves to be at this wedding lamb, but we're inviting others to come too. We're not just in this just for us, but there's a whole unity that's going to be coming together in this. If we can somehow focus on that vision, if we can somehow focus on what it takes to get us there, the work, the follow through, that experience is not just going to happen, but the intentionality, whoever said that, I forget who said that. I guess you did, Adam. But let us do that with our lives each day, knowing that the difficulty is there, but the follow through is going to make it worth it in the end. Let's pray. God, I guess the thing that stands out in that so difficult in this, that it's so hard to be vulnerable. It's so hard to open ourselves up. It's so hard to be honest and bold and frank. Much easier to self-protect. But in reality, we miss out on you. We miss out on the experience of being with you when we do that. God, we want everything that you have for us. We want to see you. We want to be drawn by you. We want to be grown up in you. We want to bring glory to you. We ask these things in your name. Amen.